Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Tim Head, who's the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which does an excellent job to get boots on the grounds, if you will, and trying to impact elections for positive, godly values. And they're based in Georgia, and they put up a good fight in the 2020 election. And Tim, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
Now, it's really quite sad what happened in the 2020 election as far as the two senators, the runoff, and both senators, it ended up being the left. People chose the left. But then there's questions in the back of my mind, was this voting really fair? I mean, it seems like there were some outside forces that were influencing the election in ways that, makes you wonder, at least you could use the word irregularities, if nothing else.
I think irregularities is certainly at least one way, kind of a fair-minded way of articulating that, particularly in the November round. I think that there's probably a decent amount of confidence around the January results. I think there was probably 10 times the amount of monitoring, either election monitoring or database monitoring on the back end. So I feel like January was probably a pretty confidence inspiring election, but November, you're right, there were quite a few question marks coming out of that.
So has Georgia turned from being a reliably conservative state to being a liberal state, a state where the voters vote for the left?
Well, I wouldn't call Georgia a liberal state, but I would call it a competitive state. So we're in this, across the country, frankly, we're actually watching a pretty interesting demographic shift and migration. Ironically enough, while Georgia in 2020 became obviously competitive, both on the presidential side and the U.S. Senate side, a state like Ohio became uncompetitive. With Senate, congressional, and presidential being 4, 5, 6 point Republican wins, because we're seeing a lot of people from kind of the Rust Belt states moving to the South, and so states like certainly Florida, but especially Georgia and North Carolina are receiving a lot of people that are moving from other parts of the country, and it's made a place like Georgia much more competitive than it has been for maybe 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, but what's so ironic about that is, why did they leave? Why did people go through all the trouble of uprooting and they left New York? It's because of all the bad politics. They were taxed to death. They tax this and tax that, and they're not getting the proper services and so forth. So then they move, and then they try to vote in the same kind of politicians or boneheaded policies that will, cause the same problems from which they fled. It doesn't make sense to me. Same thing with California to Texas movers.
That's exactly right. And frankly, the voters of Austin, the city of Austin has kind of been known as Governor Perry in Texas used to refer to the city of Austin as the blueberry in the middle of the bowl of tomato soup. So the one little blue dot or spot in the middle of an otherwise red sea.
Yeah.
But as Californians have moved to Austin, that blue dot has continued to grow and grow and grow. And you're seeing similar dynamics there in Austin or Central Texas influencing the rest of Texas politics.
Okay, now President Biden has said that Georgia's recently passed law, for which they're being hammered, to try to restore voter integrity. That law is like a new version of Jim Crow. What are your thoughts?
Well, listen, this rhetoric is it's either ignorant or disingenuous, and it's ironic, for Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game that was slated for later this summer to happen in Atlanta. They move it to Denver, to Colorado, that actually has more restrictive laws in Colorado than the new laws that were just implemented here in Georgia.
And if I could stop you real fast, let me just add one thing. And if race is a factor, I've read that Denver is about 80% white or something, whereas Atlanta is about 50% black. A lot of the people who would have benefited from the game in Atlanta would have been, black entrepreneurs and, so forth. But no, it's all based on misinformation, as I understand it. Why don't you talk about the law itself and tell me maybe three things about it that are, what the law really says versus what the media is saying. And I'm just going to sit down and let you wax eloquent.
Sure. Well, one of the dynamics that have been complained about is restricted number of hours. Cutting voting off earlier in a day. So for early voting and then election day voting, the irony is under this new law, there actually will be more hours of voting over a 17 or 18 day period than there even had been prior. So there were actually quite a bit of there was a lot of access before. We actually expanded the number of hours available. We're actually now counties have the option to be able to hold elections on Sundays, if a county sees fit, expanded opportunities, on weekends, so not only Saturdays but now more Sundays are available. So also expanded. So there were fewer counties in the state of Georgia who were voting on the weekends or on Sundays. And what this did was it made it where all across the entire state. Every county can vote.
Then, Tim, are the critics lying then about the law in reference to that one point about the hours for voting available according to the new law?
Well, I'm trying to give people the benefit of some benefit of the doubt, and assuming that they haven't read the bill. What I've found in years of doing this is a lot of times people read someone's report about.
Yeah.
The law instead of actually leading the law.
Yeah.
And then they kind of accept as gospel the report on the law instead of actually referring to the law itself. And so, my hope is that people are just misinformed and are reading a biased report instead of the law itself. But let's be honest, there are plenty of people that have a bone to pick here and actually are not interested in the public knowing the truth. They're actually interested in just furthering an agenda and trying to further divide the state of Georgia or the country for that matter. So,
okay, what's the second point?
I think this is a great piece of legislation that expands access and actually makes it easier to vote for literally hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Georgia.
Okay, what is the second example of something within the law that the law really states versus what the media and the woke corporations and Hollywood and President Biden and the Democrats are all complaining about the law? A second major point that's being lied about.
We also now are able to get free voter identification, which ironically in the state of Delaware itself, people have to pay to be able to get certain kinds of government issued identifications. These are free. So I always find it a bit ironic that the current president is complaining about restricted access in the state of Georgia when we actually have more access and easier access to identification than in his very own home state. So easier, and there also it expands sort of the amount of places, number of places that people can get identification. So, I think one of the things that not only here in Georgia but in other states we're starting to kind of get the message out that it really is a misnomer to complain that people can't, a lot of the complaint is that minorities, for instance, are struggling to get access to simple voter identification or otherwise government identification, and this is we're actually making it easier and easier and easier across the country, including in Georgia, to get that identification in shorter turnaround times for free in more kind of touch points to be able to do this.
So to see this law lied about must be very frustrating to people like you. Okay, what would be a third example and where the law itself says this, the new Georgia law, versus what the media and big tech and, you know, all the forces of the left are saying?
I would say a third element to it that I think was what is helpful is that it actually made, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but historically in Georgia, there's been a lot of county sort of autonomy across the state. And while we're for local control, we do think that there have been some sort of anomalous applications in a few counties, outlying counties around the state. And so, believe it or not, this actually brings higher thresholds of accountability to counties across the state. So the state Secretary of State's office will actually be able to monitor individual counties more carefully. So while some people are complaining that this is more restrictive, some people on the left are saying that these it restricts access. What it actually does is it restricts the ability of any counties to be able to kind of deviate in policy or in practice in restricting access. And so there's kind of a more accountability towards county level election offices than there were in place. So not only are we strengthening the ability for individual citizens to vote, but we're also tightening the reins on county level boards of elections to potentially restrict that stuff. So we feel like that it's a win-win all the way around.
Yeah.
And again, one of the reasons why we're so mystified by people criticizing these efforts.
Does the new law in any way disenfranchise black voters?
Oh, of course not. Of course not. Ironically enough, we've actually seen higher performance and higher performance and higher performance over the last 12 to 15 years here in Georgia, and which we think is actually great. And we actually believe that this is only going to make the election system that much more kind of voter friendly or customer friendly for the citizens and constituents of Georgia. So we feel like that this is a win all the way around. More accountability for county level elections offices, more access to voter identification for citizens, more hours and more days to be able to be to have polling locations available, safer, more secure voting, so you can actually turn in absentee ballots in some secure in more secure kind of locations that I think will also only enhance confidence of the citizens of Georgia. So frankly, I think it's no bill is perfect, but I actually feel like that there were several leaps forward in voter access and voter integrity in this bill.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Who is Stacey Abrams and why does she hate the bill?
Well, Stacey Abrams is a Georgia elected official, or has been a Georgia elected official. She obviously ran for governor about 3 years, 2.5 years ago, and came up short there. And frankly, I think that she hates the bill just because she has to hate anything than any Republican does. And, so if we were giving away popsicles and pledging allegiance, I think that she would march, she would organize a protest against these things. So, the reality is that there's some people that I see as noisemakers and other people that I see as problem solvers. And I commend Governor Kemp and the Georgia legislature for being problem solvers in the face of a lot of noisemakers, frankly, like Stacey Abrams.
Mm. Okay. Tim Head, Executive Director of Faith and Freedom Coalition. What's your website, sir?
You can find us at ffcoalition.com.
.com. Okay. Excellent. Tim, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jerry. God bless.
Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.